You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I hope you guys are all having a great Tuesday, March 16th. How's it going, everybody? My name is Ethan Smith, your host who always does the most. You already know that. And again, yeah, I hope you guys are all having a great start to your week as we are already flying through the month of March on our way to pretty much what's going to end up being a very fun time here in the next couple weeks as the Pittsburgh Pirates will be soon enough playing regular season baseball, which will be very fun. And for Pittsburgh, by the way, I figured to start today's episode, we're going to get into a lot of different things. First off, the team last year defensively, and we all know this if you watched Pirates baseball last year, was just a very bad defensive team. Like, it was just not a good defensive team whatsoever. And one of the emphasis that Derek Shelton put on the team this spring training, from what has been told to us, is that defense is at the forefront. And I think that's how the Pirates should approach the season anyway. First of all, defense wins baseball games. I mean, good pitching and defense can win or lose a baseball game. It's just how it is. And for the Pirates, I mean, you have some good defensive players. I mean, Kevin Newman can improve defensively. Jacob Stallings is a perennial Gold Glove candidate. Gregory Polanco always has kind of had issues in the outfield as a defensive outfielder, but I mean, I'm sure he can come around. I think Brian Reynolds is more fit to play left field as a defender, and I think his bat coming back as well. I think his bat will come back. I think that'll definitely help him in that department as well. I mean, Colin Moran has shown some strides already as being a much better defensive first baseman than Josh Bell, which is going to be a good thing. And I mean, right now, Adam Frazier is still on the Pittsburgh Pirates, so he's also been up there in the Gold Glove candidacy a couple of times. And when you really look at it, I mean, if the Pirates can, obviously, with the pitching staff they have, it might be a little difficult, but like, if they can play some good defense around these guys, they can put themselves in a lot more winnable ball games. And another guy, too, that's shown some really good strides, and again, I think is going to be the starting center fielder this year, is Anthony Alford. I mean, if you can just improve the defense all around, it's going to be a very fun season for Pittsburgh, just because, like, again, good defense is just fun to watch. Like, it's just a fun thing to watch. And, I mean, you have some pretty decent, like, guys defensively as well behind all of these guys that are starting. Like, right now, Fangraphs is projecting Eric Gonzalez, Philip Evans, Todd Frazier, Michael Perez, and Dustin Fowler to be on the bench. And, I mean, all those guys aren't too bad defensively. Like, Michael Perez does have some of his own issues and stuff like that. But when you really look at it, I mean, again, if the Pirates can improve defensively, this team is going to take a lot more strides than I think people think. And it'll be very helpful to do so. And, I mean, again, like, defense is just instrumental in baseball. Like, if we look at the Pirates' defensive stats last year, while I pull these up, I'll just, like, talk about some other things. I mean, you really look at the idea that a lot of those games last year were lost because of, like, really bad defense. And, I mean, Derek Shelton, again, has put a huge emphasis on it. But if we look into, we're going to get to this here in a second. My computer is just running a little slow today, guys, which I think is pretty fun. But, I mean, if you look at, we're going to try to see some things here. And, I mean, pitching-wise, already, I mean, the Pirates are up there. They're eighth right now in ERA. They were first for a while. And, I mean, again, it's just very interesting to figure out if this team is going to improve pitching and defensively. It's one of the bigger questions. And if they can do both and make themselves a defensive-oriented team and the bats like Key Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, Colin Moran, etc., come around, I mean, again, you could be talking about the Pirates playing in a lot more winnable games than people expect. And it's just very interesting, again. And I know I say the word interesting a lot, but, I mean, you have to keep in mind that for the Pirates last year, I mean, so many problems all over the place. I mean, we already knew that that was a a huge problem. But, I mean, there was just problems everywhere. It's just kind of how it was. But, I mean, again, you have to keep in mind that this is a rebuild. And when you take that into account as well, you have to also keep in mind defense isn't always going to be great. But fielding-wise, in spring training, they've looked very well. You've seen a lot of things happen fielding-wise, but, I mean, fielding statistics, we'll go to the averages rather than the total, just because it's usually easier to look at it that way. And, I mean, obviously, like, catching-wise, we all knew Jacob Stallings was really good. I mean, the guy had a 990 fielding rate. But you go up again to everything that was going on, and their fielding rate was only a 97.978, which is not really good. It's just not. It ranked last in baseball, especially in the National League. And I mean, it's just 40, I believe they had 47 errors as well, if I wasn't, or 47 assists. Yeah, so 47 assists, which also ranked last. And it's just not a good formula to win when your team is not playing good defensively. But again, I am liking that Derek Shelton is putting a huge emphasis on defense this year. I mean, he just needs to. It's just how it is. But I mean, that's what they need to focus on. And also, if your car has any problems, maybe you need to focus on Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And when we come back, we are going to talk about fans being back in PNC Park as the Pirates announced, I think about a week ago, that 50% of fans will be allowed back in the PNC Park. So what are some things that we could be seeing fans do, and how could fans impact games for the Pittsburgh Pirates at home? And we will be right back. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I am once again your host, Ethan Smith, and betting on the MLB, the Pittsburgh Pirates, or baseball in general doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Starling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Starling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. And yeah, go make sure you check that out, man. I mean, March Madness is starting on Thursday, so that's going to be very fun. I mean, I'm thinking about doing maybe an all-time Pittsburgh Pirates team bracket, or like a decade bracket and stuff like that, and going through which teams would beat who, but we'll get into that another day. Talking about today, fans are slated to be coming back into PNC Park to begin the season on April 8th when the Pirates host their home opener against the Chicago Cubs. I believe I've been reading that the capacity will be limited to 20% to begin the year. Tickets will be sold on a month-to-month basis, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's what they were saying. And, I mean, you can get season tickets, which is a big, big thing for a lot of people. But I've heard that it could move up to 50% pretty soon as well. It's just going to be nice to have fans back in such a beautiful ballpark. I mean, I think we can all say that. I already know some of my followers on Twitter have already said that they will definitely be going back to PNC Park probably April 8th. Like, I've seen a lot of people say that. And it's going to be very, very fun. It's going to be very relieving, I think, for a lot of people to be able to go back into the ballpark, just have a Pirani Brothers sandwich, have an icy light, watch a baseball game. But, I mean, realistically, the fans are a big component of how players do as well. I mean, again, the Pirates just were not that good last year. But a part of that was they didn't have anybody to feed off of. I mean, if you don't have fans to feed off of after a huge home run, let's say you're down 6-4 in the bottom of the eighth, you hit a one-run home run, oh, solo home run, and fans go nuts, and then the rest of your batting order's up, but they have nobody to feed off of. So then you're just kind of like, it's still going to be an energetic thing, but you're just not really getting that energy anywhere except yourself, which just kind of dwindles it down to the idea that fans are going to have an impact this year again. And it's a big deal, and we could see a lot of teams do more. I mean, the Texas Rangers already announced they're going to have 100% capacity to start their year, which is insane. But, I mean, it just shows the fact that fans are going to be back in the ballpark. And, I mean, I want you guys to, like, let me know at Locked On Pirates on Twitter, what are your first plans when you go back to PNC? I mean, do you want to, like, take in the scenery, just watch some baseball? Like, I mean, drink some beer and have a Permane Brothers sandwich or Manny Sanguian's barbecue? There's so many different things you can do in PNC Park that are just things that people missed last year, all of last year. Like, I mean, you have to think, there's not been a baseball game in PNC Park in almost 2 years. It's been, or like, well, with fans. And it's crazy because it's like almost taboo. It was almost taboo not to have fans. Like, we all remember the Baltimore riots back when I believe it was the Orioles and the Royals or the Tigers. I can't remember who they were playing, but there was nobody in Camden Yards because there was so many riots they didn't feel safe doing it. But now it's like commonplace just not to have fans in stadiums, which is like insane. But now we also move to the idea that March Madness is going to be having fans in Indianapolis. So there is like a sense of normalcy coming back. It is like going to take a moment, I think. It's going to take a while for some people maybe to be comfortable doing that again. But I mean, for PNC, it's going to be very nice. I mean, PNC Park, again, is probably one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful ballpark in all of baseball. You really have to consider that, like, the impact it has on the community in Pittsburgh as well, just to be able to go see a baseball game together with your family on a Wednesday night or a Saturday night or whatever you choose to do. And it's like very interesting that it's almost like a place of serenity in a way. Like, obviously the team's not that great, but it's still like nice to just be able to go watch a baseball game and just kind of like not think about anything else. That's at least how I felt every time I went to PNC, is it was almost just like, okay, cool, I get to go to this place and everything around me and everything else that's not like like that's happening isn't like a big deal to me. It's just I'm here and I'm doing it. And that's how I feel like a lot of people are going to be like. And I feel like it's going to be a very good thing for a lot of people as long as, like, COVID kind of keeps trending down. And I think, like, of course, the Pirates could allow more fans in once things maybe slow down a little bit. But, I mean, again, I think one of the better things, and I think it'll really hit me when I'm watching it on TV, is when Key Brian Hayes hits a home run in PNC Park and fans react. I think that's when it's going to be very nice and really hit me. Which, I mean, I think that's going to hit a lot of people home. But, I mean, what do you guys, again, want to see most out of PNC Park again this year? Like, what is your plans? What are you, like, how often are you going to go? Are you going at all? Let me know at Locked On Pirates on Twitter or on my personal Twitter at MVP_Ethan. Today's episode is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKED15 for your 50% welcome bonus. Today's episode is also brought to you by our wonderful friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your next order. And when we come back, we are going to be previewing my Division Day episode tomorrow with Sean Sears of Locked On Cubs, and we will be right back. All right, everybody, and welcome back once again to Locked On Pirates. And here in this last segment, we're definitely going to be talking about like Cubs Pirates, what the both teams can be doing. And again, don't forget, Wednesday is division crossover day across the MLB network. Our podcast will be crossing over with Locked On Cubs, Sean Sears once again. And again, make sure tune in Wednesday for a special crossover episode edition of Locked On Pirates, and check out the another crossover show in our division to start scouting the competition. I believe tomorrow the Reds, Locked On Reds, who I was with last week, and Locked On Cardinals are doing theirs this week. But now we're going to talk some Pirates and Cubs. I mean, you look at what happened this offseason in the NL Central specifically, and I mean, Chicago really, I don't understand why they cry poor when they're one of the higher, like, grossing teams in baseball. But it is pretty interesting when you cut payroll, trade Yu Darvish. I personally think Chris Bryant is on his way out at some point. I mean, it's very weird. And then the Pirates obviously did a lot of selling as well with Joe Musgrove, Josh Bell, and Jameson Taillon. But these teams do kick off the season in two of their first three series. Obviously, the first being in Wrigley, it's a three-game series, and the second being in PNC. I think the Pirates play the Reds in between those. I don't know who the Cubs play. But, I mean, last year, you look at it, the Pirates were 4-6 against the Chicago Cubs last year, which, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, like, the Pirates did pretty well. I mean, you really look at the last couple decades, though, between these teams, and it's very interesting because both of these teams over the last couple of decades have not been that great. I mean, the Cubs won a World Series in 2016, and the Pirates haven't won one since 79, but were in that hunt in the 90s. But, I mean, you look at the 2010s, and, I mean, the teams split. They were 90 and 90. In the 2000s, they were 60, or the Pirates were 66 and 95, so that was kind of like when the Cubs were, like, all over them, but that's also when the Pirates were just not very good. In the 1990s, the Pirates led the series 76 and 63. In the 80s, 95 and 81. The 70s is really when the Pirates took over, and the 60s. They were 111 and 66 in the 70s and 110 and 78 in the 60s. And then, I mean, it kind of goes back and forth a little bit once you go way, way later. But, I mean, it's really interesting to see how these two teams' trajectories have went over history. Is, I mean, the Pirates, obviously, the 70s was their golden years. That's, like, and before that, like, whenever Hannes Wagner was playing, that was their golden years as well. And for the Cubs, I mean, they had that really long drought of winning a World Series and everything. But, I mean, when you look at these two teams now, the Cubs are still better. They still have a chance at winning the division. The Pirates do not. But, I mean, the Cubs definitely did take a step back this year. And me and Sean will go into this all day tomorrow probably about how both teams, like, are kind of in a weird spot. I mean, the Pirates obviously knew they were rebuilding, but the Cubs especially now are just in a very odd spot right now because they still have Javier Baez, Wilson Contreras, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Ian Happ. They still have a very – I mean, Jason Hayward. They still have a very good team as well that could win the division, but it could also flame out. And I've talked about this, about, like, what could happen with this team this year. And, I mean, if they flame out at some point, Chris Bryant, I think, could be a New York Met or somewhere else. Because, I mean, it's just been a very interesting offseason. You don't really know what, like, direction the Cubs are taking. Like, are they rebuilding or are they retooling? Retooling, rebuilding, kind of two different things. But what are they really doing? Like, what's going on? And, I mean, for the Pirates, again, like, I mean, the Cubs and the Pirates always usually play pretty fun games. I mean, we saw the 2015 wild card game, which was the last Pirates playoff game that we've seen, and it's been 6 years now, so it's been a while, where Jake Arrieta absolutely dominated in PNC Park, and that was the year before the Cubs won the World Series. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to watch these two teams, especially in the first two series. I mean, the Pirates' pitching staff is probably worse. I mean, most definitely. I mean, Kyle Hendricks is the ace, I believe, in Chicago, and he's pretty good. And then, I mean, like, the Cubs do just have a better overall roster, but again, the Pirates and the Cubs always play each other well. I mean, when you're 90 and 90 over the course of an entire decade, especially in the decade where the Cubs won the World Series and the Pirates were consistently in contention, that's kind of interesting. And, I mean, even last year they were 4-6. Like, and, I mean, you look at the runs scored versus runs against, and it's almost never more than one. The only time it really ever was in the 2000s when the Cubs had 5.2 and the Pirates had 4.3. And then in the 70s, the Pirates had the advantage with almost 5 runs scored per game versus the Cubs having 3.6. So, I mean, it's very – but every other year, I mean, 3.4 to 3.8, 4.1 to 4.4, 4.9 to 4.7. You get the point. Like, the teams play each other very tough. They're very big rivals. And it's going to be a very fun, like, series to watch this year between these two squads. I mean, it's going to be very interesting. And again, tomorrow you can check that out. Me and Sean will be posting those episodes tomorrow on our respective podcasts here at Locked On Pirates and him at Locked On Cubs. Again, make sure you follow me at Locked On Pirates on Twitter. You know, it's going to be very fun these next couple weeks as we approach the regular season, and especially on April 1st when we do get baseball. And this Sunday, and every Sunday following that, Locker Room, an app that you can download on iOS, and they are apparently working to get on Android, is allowing myself to host a room with you guys to talk Pirates baseball or whatever we want to talk about, and I will be hosting that every Sunday. I'm probably going to say around noon, 1 o'clock-ish, depending on like how the schedules pan out and everything. I may wait until after games, so it could be closer to 4 or 5 o'clock, but I will let you guys know. And again, you guys have a great Tuesday. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, so I hope you guys celebrate accordingly and safely. And you guys have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much. Thank you.